We had a wonderful trip yesterday. 29 of us went to a sheep farm, and we'll never be the same again. But it was a wonderful time. We had learned several lessons about sheep and thankful for the gracious host that we had there at the sheep farm. And so as we think of the ultimate sacrifice of Memorial Day, and we think of this, we also are going to take a look at leadership today. And you have do you want to take notes there? Yeah. Welcome you to do so. All right. Here we go. So this couple we're going to look at today, Othniel and Action, and Othniel, the sons of Kedesh, Caleb's brother, took it, so Caleb gave his daughter Action to him in marriage. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for this day. Memorial Day, we remember those who gave this ultimate sacrifice. It's also a time when we can remember also the sacrifice that Christ gave his life for us as he died on the cross. And he is also the good shepherd, as we were reminded of the sheep yesterday. Lord, we pray that you would, your spirit would minister to our hearts today. Open our hearts, our ears, our minds. May we receive your word with gladness. And may your spirit fill your servant. We pray for those who are traveling in our midst, that you give them safety as they travel. We also pray for those in their weakness and sickness. We pray especially for Wushu and his family, that you would strengthen him and give comfort and strength to the family. And for others, Lord, that you know the needs that we have here. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look here at Caleb, he was a father who was an example to his daughter, Action, and also to his nephew, who would become his son-in-law. And so from these three, Caleb, Action, and Othniel, we see the traits of leaders. So I have three questions I want to ask you to consider here. First of all, what is a leader? John Quincy Adams, one of the early presidents, said these words here. If your actions inspire others to dream more, to learn more, to do more, and become more, you are a leader. Some words for us to consider here, what it means to be a leader. And then Leroy Ames said these words. A leader is one who sees more than others see, who sees further than others see, and who sees before others see. So here's a couple of things for us to consider what a leader is. And then the question we might ask secondly is, who is a leader? Who is a leader? A leader is someone people follow, not because they have to, but because they want to. I was thinking about this, the leader is someone who other people follow because they want to. And this is something for us to consider, who is a leader. And then today we're going to consider what is leadership. And how do you spell leadership? We will define the traits and consider the examples of leadership in this family. And then we want to be leaders. And we want to raise children that will be leaders. So we want to ask ourselves, what is leadership? What are the traits of leadership? As we consider this today, we're going to spell out this word, leadership. And so the first letter, L, could stand for loyalty. Excuse me, I thought I'd shut that off. Loyalty. So definition of loyalty is being faithful, means we're faithful to God and others. Really, the word faithful or faithfulness go right along with loyalty. So our faithfulness is first of all to God. And then we're faithful to those that God has put under our care as leaders. I think of an example here that Caleb was a faithful follower. Now remember the story that Caleb was one of the 12 spies. He was sent out to scout the land of Canaan. And although he and Joshua believed God, recommended an immediate attack, their suggestion was rejected by the Israelites because the majority reported the heavy defended fortresses and the giants in the land. But notice these words here, what it says here about Caleb. Six times it says, he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. With all of his heart, he followed God. Six times it's mentioned here that he did that. With his whole heart, wholeheartedly, he followed the Lord. And there is example to us of loyalty. To follow God with all our hearts. We're commanded, of course, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind and might. And we're to follow Him with all of our hearts. Now, I think of this, how this also is reflected in the other two. Othniel was faithful to attack and to capture Nebur. Now, this was a city, also known by the name of Kiriath Sefer. He attacked this city. They had taken that mountain hill country. Even at the age we see here of 85, Caleb led the army to take that hill country. And here he put forth a challenge. Who would take this city? Who will take this city? He promised his wife, his daughter to be his wife. And so Othniel received Achshon as his wife. Now, I think of this too, that she was also faithful to marry Othniel, the father, follow her father's wishes. So leadership is first of all loyalty. I think of the words of Paul. Paul said these words, follow me as I follow the Lord. Follow me as I follow the Lord. He set the example, Paul did, faithfully following after God. And then Timothy and others who were his disciples followed after Paul. And so loyalty, faithfulness, is the first key to leadership. And then I think of the second letter here, E, empathy. Now, empathy is defined as understanding of another's situation, feelings, and motives. We use an expression like this, to walk in their shoes. To walk in their shoes. If you'd ask me what does a shepherd do, I maybe have read a few books, but yesterday we walked in the shoes of a shepherd. We watched him as he took care of those sheep, and he called his sheep, and they recognized his voice, and they came to him. To walk in the shoes of another. Now, examples of this, of course, Caleb understood the report given about the fruit of the land. That good report, that was the land of Canaan was a prosperous land. And he also understood the fortifications of the city, that there were the giants in the land. And he did not agree with their conclusion. Yes, he walked with them in the shoes. They spied the land together, but they came to different conclusions. And then we see these words here, chapter 13. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't do it. We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Now here you have
Those 12 all walked in the same shoes. They all spied out the land together. But they came to different conclusions. And so, we need to understand one another, but we also need to understand what God's will is for our lives, what God would have us to do. Othniel understood the bride dowry. You know, it was, you could pay a certain amount to get the bride dowry at that time. The custom was he probably couldn't afford it. And there was other ways you could do that dowry. And what his wife wanted was he asked for the land in Nekev. It's in the south part. All right? So he asked for that land as part of a marriage gift, a bridal that the husband, the father would give. He asked for that land. He walked in her shoes. She saw the need to have that south land. And then she understood that the desert is dry. That south land is dry. It's good land, but it's dry, very dry there, and needed water. So she asked her father for springs of water. And he gave her not only the upper spring, but also the lower spring. So we have to walk in the shoes of others. We have to see what others see. Sometimes we don't see it. And so we need to walk in their shoes. And that's an important part of leadership. Loyalty, empathy. And then leadership, A, is also accountability. Accountability is to take responsibility for one's actions. We hold ourselves accountable to God and to others. I think of examples here of Caleb said to the entire Israelite assembly, if the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land and He will give it to us. We're accountable to God. If we please God, if God is pleased with us, He will give us this land. We're accountable to God, first of all. And he reminded them of that. It's interesting that Othniel later became the first ruling judge in Israel. Look at the book of Judges, in chapter 3. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. He became the first ruling judge. Accountability to God. Caleb was accountable to God. Othniel was accountable to God. And I think of also Aksha, that she helped her husband when he became the first ruling judge. Accountability is very important. We need to hold ourselves accountable to others. Men's group can help hold men accountable to each other. A women's group can help hold women accountable to each other. Helping us to be accountable is very important. So loyalty, empathy, accountability, and then D. Very important that we also consider this. A leader has to have determination. Determination is a firmness of purpose. God has given us a purpose. And there's a firmness to that purpose. Caleb, for example, was a warrior with fierce determination. Because they would not go into the promised land when God wanted them to go, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now Caleb is 85 years old. Kind of reminds me, my father is 85, and tomorrow, he's going to have hip surgery. So I appreciate your prayers for him and remembering him in prayer. But Caleb, 85 years old, it says here that he was assigned Hebron. They cast lots, they divided the land of Canaan, and they were to go in and take that land. But they were also to finish conquering. And so he had to conquer Anakim inhabitants. Those were the giants. Those were the ones the people were most afraid of. And Caleb was determined. Give me that mountain. I want that hill country. I want that place where everybody said, we can't go in because of those Anakites. We can't go in because of those giants. Give me this hill country. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. 85 years old. I mean, Caleb could have said, give me that rest home. Give me that nice place over there by the ocean, by the sea. But he asked for the hill country. He asked for the mountains. He asked for the giants. And so he had the determination to complete the purpose that God had for him. Othniel, also, to deliver Israel. You know the book of Judges. There's a cycle there. The book of Judges, we see this cycle happening over and over again. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and they served the Baalims and Asherahs, the other gods who were there in the land. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that He sold them into the hands of Cush-Rishnath, the king of Amram, and to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years under bondage. But when the people, when they cried out to the Lord, He raised up for them a deliverer. Here is a deliverer, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. So, Othniel was also determined to fulfill God's purpose for his life. And God raised him up as a deliverer. That's what these judges were, to deliver them from that bondage. Achsah was also bold in seeking a blessing and exercising her faith. His daughter did not receive inheritance and property equal to sons in that day. And yet she stood up boldly, determined to give this as an inheritance to her. So leadership. Leadership is loyalty, it's empathy, it's accountability, it's determination. Determination to fulfill God's purpose. And then the third, the word here we have, E, the next letter, encouragement. Encouragement. Encouragement is to give hope, to give courage or confidence to somebody. Encourage. You see the word courage inside that word? To give courage to others. That's what a leader does. To give courage to others. Caleb encouraged his warriors. Caleb offered his daughter, in fact, as an encouragement to whomever would overthrow that city. Maybe at that time, after fighting in the hill country, his warriors, they were tired, they were weary. Let's stop here, Caleb. We've done enough. But there's one more city, Caleb reminded them. There's one more city. Caleb, this is enough. And so Caleb encouraged them. All right, the one who will lead in conquering that city, I will give him my wife. And so encouragement. Othniel encouraged his wife to ask for the springs of water. But Othniel, we're going to need water, and that's a desert land. All right. You ask your father for the water. You ask for the springs. And Achsah encouraged her husband to ask for the south land. We encourage one another. A husband encourages his wife. A wife encourages her husband. As we're reminded in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up. Encouragement. To put courage in another person. Encourage. Encourage one another. And so a leader needs to be an encourager. And we need to encourage one another. Loyalty, empathy, accountability, determination, and encouragement. R speaks of respect. Respect is to feel or show high regard for somebody or something. Certainly, fearing God the ultimate respect. Awesome. God is awesome. God is, we show reverence to God, the ultimate respect. And not to fear man, but to fear God more than men. Caleb said these words to them. In Numbers chapter 14, only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land. Yes, there are giants there. But our God is greater because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So we see here how he showed reverence to God. Fear God. Trust God. Have that reverential trust in God. Now, Othniel also showed respect to Caleb in asking for the land. He asked her father for a field, respectfully asking, requesting. Not demanding, but requesting. Aksha also showed respect to her, to Othniel and to Caleb in asking for the springs of water. Her husband suggested, why don't you ask for the springs? And she did. And she showed respect when she got off her donkey. Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? She got off the donkey as a sign of respect in that culture. She went to him and asked. And she answered, do me a special favor. So there needs to be that mutual respect, respecting one another. And as humans, we're not perfect. As humans, we make mistakes. But we respect one another. We show respect. Loyalty, empathy, accountability, determination, encouragement, and respect. And then S, very important, is selflessness. Selflessness is to have or show no concern for oneself. Now this is, we see here some examples of this selflessness. We live in an age, we're naturally selfish, where we think of ourselves number one. But we need to be selfless. Caleb brought back a report according to my convictions. Here's my report. Here's what I have to say. And he wasn't seeking anything for himself in this. Not for my convenience, not for my comfort. But he brought back this report. Othniel, it tells us here, was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came on him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. At that time, he was no longer a young man. And he could have also thought, well, there's other things I could be doing. This is troublesome. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He did not think of himself. God's Spirit came upon him and he went forth. Aksha was also a servant. Reminded of the words of Christ, Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. Jesus said these words, not so with you. Remember how the two disciples said, well, can one of us sit on the right hand and one sit on the left? Can we have positions of honor? And then he reminded them, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's the example of servanthood. Now this is servant leadership. It seems like a contradiction. Servant leadership, but servant leadership is not thinking of oneself, but thinking of others. Loyalty, encouragement, accountability, determination, and then respect and also selflessness. But then another ingredient here of leadership, one that we don't often think about, is that of humility. Humility is to be modest in behavior, attitude, or spirit.
Caleb said these words here
as he reminded them, "The Lord helping me, I will drive them out," just as he said, just as the Lord said, with God's help. So humility is acknowledging that I can't do it on my own, with God's help, with the Lord helping me.
Othniel was also helped by God. The Lord gave the king of Amram into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him.
With God's help, he conquered that king.
Achsa was also helped by God. As it reminds us in Hebrews 13:6,
the Lord is my helper. And we face situations that are difficult. Remember this, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid.
And we're to humble ourselves, therefore, under the God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, that He may work through us and be our helper. And leadership is also about integrity. Integrity is to have moral principles.
A leader has to lead having moral principles.
Caleb said this, Joshua chapter 14, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Now, then was 40 years earlier, 45 years of age. Now he's 85.
I still have the same vigor. I still have integrity.
Othniel was of the tribe of Judah. And his name means Lion of God.
El is a word, the name for God, El.
Lion of God is what his name means. I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed.
Lion of God. Integrity.
Achsa was also of the tribe of Judah. And her name means Anquit.
Anquit was also kind of the idea of beauty. She had not just an outward beauty, but an inward beauty. Integrity is that inward beauty.
C.S. Lewis said this about integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching.
Doing the right thing even when no one is watching. That's integrity. That's a good reminder to us. We don't do the right thing because people are watching us. We do it because it's the right thing. And we don't need anybody to see us doing it. It's because it's the right thing.
So leadership, loyalty, empathy, accountability, determination, encouragement, respect, selflessness, humility, and integrity. The last word I want you to consider here goes with leadership is priority.
Priority is to establish by order of importance. What comes first? What's most important? Priority.
Suggest to you that Caleb's priority was to drive out the Anakites.
Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites. You know, after they divided the land, it was a responsibility of each tribe to drive out the inhabitants who were worshiping all these other gods, to drive them out. And Caleb did that. That was his priority, to drive them out. Give me the hill country. And he drove them out, even at the age of 85. But we see, as you read through this, Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. And to this day, the Jebusites lived there with the people of Judah. There were those who did not drive out the inhabitants. They allowed that them to exist there.
And they were left, it tells us here in Judges chapter 3, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands.
The book of Judges chapter 3, it tells all these were not driven out. And they tested the Israelites whether or not they would obey the Lord.
And so, what a reminder this is to us, our priority. What's most important? What would God have us to do? Othniel's priority was to conquer, first of all, the city of Debir, and then the king of Amron. Achsah's priority was to support. She supported her father and her husband. But priorities are important.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The question is asked, is it a lack of time or a lack of priority? We have today, and we're all so busy. We have this and that going on in our lives, which is true. We have a lot of things going on in our lives. But there's a myth here about time. A myth about time. Well, I don't have time for that. If it's a priority, we have time. If it's a priority, we can make the time. I recently watched the story of a man who said, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to go to a Bible study. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I have all these other things I have to do. And one day, that man got cancer. And his priorities changed. He got cancer. He began to realize that his days were numbered. Well, all our days are numbered. We never know how tomorrow what might happen. All our days are numbered. But he was faced with the reality that life is short. Our days are numbered. And so it was not a question of lack of time. It was a question of lack of a priority. And it changed his life. Now he had time to go to the Bible study. Now he had time to read his Bible. Now he had time to pray and to serve the Lord. Before that, he did not have time. And so priority is also very important in leadership. What are the important things?
Priority. That's a wake-up call. Wake up! There's priority. We need to consider this. Now, in conclusion, I want you to think about what's the difference between a boss and a leader? What's the difference between a boss and a leader? I don't know where you work. You probably have somebody who's your boss, who's over you. All right? And maybe this would be something to consider. Is that person just a boss or are they a leader? What's the difference between a boss and a leader? I think these are some things for us to be good to consider here. First of all, we see that the differences are this. A boss drives others, kind of pushes them, drives them. But a leader is one who coaches others, who leads them by coaching them, mentoring them. A boss inspires fear. You better do this or else. But a leader inspires enthusiasm, making you want to do it.
A boss will blame others. Well, it happened because so-and-so. Blaming others. But a leader helps to fix it. What can we do to fix it? Not pointing the finger. What can we do to fix this?
A boss says, I. A leader says, we.
Together, we are working together.
A boss knows how it's done. This is how it's done. This is
I've read the books. I know how it's done. But a reader shows how it's done. Not just saying, but showing. A boss depends upon authority. Don't forget, I'm the boss here. But a leader depends upon goodwill. This is for the good of us. That not looking at what's the best for us here. A boss uses people, to get that done. Uses people, but a leader develops people. A boss takes credit. I did it. But a leader gives credit. You did it. And then a boss commands, do this. A leader asks, will you do this? Will you help? So the boss says, go. And the leader says, let's go. Let's go. And so as we think about what is a leader, loyalty, empathy, accountability, determination, encouragement, respect, selflessness, humility, integrity, and priority. I think these words can help us understand and spell out the word leadership. I want to close with this thought. A good leader is a person who takes a little more than his share of the blame and a little less than his share of the credit. A good leader is one who leads others who would want to follow that leader. May we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. May we want to follow Him and lead others to follow Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank You for the examples, Caleb, Othniel, and Aksha, that in their family, they were leaders. And because of that, the example of Caleb, upon his daughter, upon his son-in-law, they also became leaders. Father, I pray that You would give us an understanding of what leadership is. And Father, help us to be the leaders You would have us to be, to follow You faithfully. And Father, that we might encourage others to also follow You. And Father, we ask that You would just help us to be the leaders You would have us to be in our homes, in our lives, at work, at church. Lord, we ask for Your help. And we give You the glory. We give You the praise. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
神实在是奇妙的主，祂带领我们，也是让我们的一家，让我们都能够来服侍祂，也是让我们看到，今天我们要看到新约有一家，就是这一家是服侍主的，让我们可以思念我们如何的学习他们这家如何在神的面前的中心。让我们一起低头的祷告。恩主，我们实在是感谢你，让我们能够来到你的面前，主，这都是主你自己的恩典。 主，我们感谢你，也让我们能够从这许多的家里面，让我们看到这些主你自己要兴起的仆人，或者是主你自己要说的话，借着这些的服侍，都能够把主你自己的话合时合宜以及合灵的侍奉，能够讨主你自己的喜悦。主，我们感谢你。 我们这样祷告赞美都是奉靠主耶稣基督的圣名，阿们。好，我们一起来学习，就是百基拉和亚基拉他们的一家的服事，因为今年我们的主题是在基督是我们一家之主，所以我们以家跟基督为主，就这两个我们看看能不能把它摆在一起，让我们的家跟我们服事不会是错开的。 或者是有差距的，所以我们从这个例子，百基拉、亚基拉他们的服事，我们一起来学习。 那对的，刚刚我们读的经文就是很短，可不可以帮我一下往前啊？武雷弟兄，那个可不可以往前呢？哦，好。刚刚罗马书，我们知道使徒保罗他写的这罗马书，他是在以弗所那边写的。那在罗马书里面，他问百基拉、亚基拉安，而且这是在最后了，罗马书最后那一段。心里面知道罗马书是一个很重的一门就是一个书信，到了最后他有一些问安，他首先就问安在百基拉、亚基拉，他们在他们基督里是他们的他的同工，而且也为我的命将自己的景象置之度外，不但我感谢他们，就是外邦的教会也感谢他们，又在他们家中的教会安问他们教会的安。所以我们看到好像这个家庭对保罗，使徒保罗他的侍奉是如此的重要。而且我们看到在接下去罗马书16章25到26节这边讲到，唯有神能照我们所传的福音和所讲的耶稣基督，并照永古隐藏不言的奥秘坚固你们的心，这奥秘如今显明出来，而且按着永生神的命，借众先知的书指示万国的民，使他们信服真道。待会儿我们也一起来学习百基拉、亚基拉如何在这样的事工上面，他也是能够坚固众圣徒的信心，而且他也能够把这奥秘显明出来，神的奥秘显明出来。所以这是第二处。第三处我们看一下耶稣雅记24章15节后半段，这边讲到，至于我和我家，我们必定侍奉耶和华。这是这一家的榜样，也是我们的榜样。所以我们今天从这主要三个角度来看，就是如何来服侍主一家。好，我们往下我们今天会看到几点。第一点就是他们是使徒保罗的同工，他们接待了使徒保罗，那待会儿我们来看一下为什么他要接待使徒保罗。第二点可以吗？可以往下吗？这个我们要 turn on 还是怎么样？是不是？哦，可以啊。 OK， 他们是将景象置之度外的指示，这个是希腊成语，其实我们中文也有把生死置之度外，有没有？他们是说把景象，因为他们那时候做错的话是被砍头的，那我们是说生死置之度外。第三个呢，他们家中有个教会的指示，哇，他们家中有聚会，那我们现在也有，我们周五的时候有时候在家里的聚会我们也有，这也是神所使用的。那第四个呢，他们是引圣经证明耶稣是基督的指示。我们待会也来看他们在这家中，他们把一位传道人接到他们家中，然后跟他在讲述就是主耶稣基督的指示。最后我们来看一下他们的服事对我们的生命里面、生活里面有没有什么样的帮助。所以我们就从这五个五点我们来学习。我比较喜欢地图，我每一次就说从地图开始。这一家百基拉、亚基拉，他们原先是住在罗马。罗马是在，我看看，我 Oops， 对不起哈，罗马是在这个有没有点可以我自己把自己关掉了吗？武雷弟兄，可不可以请你帮忙一下？就是回到那个地图的地方。好，那罗马是在你们的左上角那边。那个时候罗马皇帝要他们犹太人全部搬离开，全部搬离开就是罗马，他们不准居住在罗马地方。那个时候大概是主后49年的时候，所以这一家也是蛮辛苦的，因为他们的家 没有办法住了，他们需要搬，他们搬得很远。那我不晓得这大概是有一个 point 那个laser point， 但是没关系，我们没有的话，我们就可以看到他从罗马的地方搬到哥林多的地方，也蛮远的地方，从罗马搬到现就是现在的希腊的地方。他们在那边要开始要安家，然后可以在那边开始工作，而且在家里有服侍，这是一段蛮辛苦的，就是好像适应。然后我们看到他们接待了保罗，也知道保罗的知识，后来他们也愿意跟保罗一起旅行。他们跟保罗走到什么地方呢？走到以弗所，保罗就把他们留下来，他们一家两口就在那边服侍，还是也有家聚会。然后保罗就继续就旅行，就是回耶路撒冷，然后再到安提阿，叙利亚的安提阿，那个时候有两个地方叫安提阿，所以这是叙利亚安提阿。但是这对夫妇他们却留在以弗所 Ephesus， 但是神也给他们开恩，最后他们大概54年的时候，他们又回去搬去回去罗马，而且罗马在罗马家里还是有自己的聚会。所以我们看到这一家，哦，换一个，好，谢谢。哦 ，pointer， 哦，好好好 ，OK， 好，谢谢。所以我们看到就是这家从罗马的地方搬到这里，哥林多，然后跟使徒保罗再搬到以弗所，最后保罗把他们留在这儿，然后他们又最后又回到了罗马的地方，在各处他们还是继续服侍主，不管难处如何就是不管是愿意的不愿意的，他们还是在新的地方还是在那边服侍主。好，所以我们从这个他们的服侍我们来学习。这可以往前吗？换了另外一个哈。这个也是可以哈。好，所以我们第一个来看就是与使徒保罗他们的同工。所以我们看到回到这个使徒行传第18章里面，我们可以很清楚看到这一家他们是如何跟保罗一起同工。保罗他本来是在雅典，刚刚雅典跟哥林多没有多远的地方，他在雅典就是在那边的事工以外以后，他们就保罗就来到了雅典地方，来到了哥林多，然后遇见一个犹太人名叫雅基拉，他生在本都，因为这个克劳迪命犹太人都需要离开罗马，所以他就带着他的妻子百基拉来到了意大利的从意大利来，那保罗就投奔了他们。保罗投奔了他们，为什么呢？他们本是自造帐篷为业，而且保罗他以前也是跟他们是同业的，所以就和他们同住做工，而且保罗他也在就是可能也在他们家中也有聚会，而且在外面也有聚会。每逢安息日，我们看保罗在会堂里辩论劝化犹太人和希腊人，所以好像他就慢慢的就是不只是把福音传给犹太人，也是把福音传给希腊人。希腊人是他们那时候看到是一个外邦人，但是我们看到他是跟保罗同工的一个指示啊，这个还是比较 Thank you.